discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square, and finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Our journeys to trusting in our faith come in many different varieties. For some of us, it's a legacy passed down through generations. And for many, there comes a point when we need to decide if that's a faith we'll make our own. We set out on the road today with a man who found himself questioning why he believed what he believed. And as he began to drift from his faith, decided to sift through the scientific and logical evidence for himself, and was surprised to discover that the truth of Christianity holds up to the most difficult questions that we can pose. It's the story of Dr. Don Byerly here on the road. He is the president of Faith Search International and holds master's and doctorate degrees in the life sciences and a master's in New Testament studies. As an educator and academic dean, Dr. Byerly has been active for 30 years teaching biology, Bible, and worldview subjects in the college classroom. He's conducted training around the world in places such as the Marshall Islands in the South Pacific, in Amsterdam, the Philippines, and throughout India. He's published several articles in scientific journals, is the author of Surprised by Faith and other books and DVDs on practical apologetics. As a research scientist, he was a team member on scientific expeditions to both the Arctic and Antarctic polar regions. Sir, the warmest of welcomes to you. Thanks for being with us on the road.
Thank you, Ryan. It's my pleasure.
Well, before we begin the telling of your unique story at the beginning, tell us about the organization that you head. What is Faith Search International, and what do you guys do?
Well, we are in our 36th year of gospel ministry. We are an evangelism ministry. We also do discipleship. And we started out as a home Bible study group, basically in the Minnetonka area, central part of Minneapolis. And it grew from there into working with the local church on evangelism and training. And then God directed us to, with people who came on board, to take the ministry gospel overseas as well. And that's when we got started in Russia, India, Philippines, and other countries. Our key idea is the gospel with evidence, meaning we answer not only the what questions about the Christian faith, but the why questions as well. And it's been as a culture and society asks the why questions, it's been a more and more relevant ministry even as time has gone by.
Understood. You talk about in Surprised by Faith, the walks along the creek and the questions asked in your rural school. And I love the picture of the rural school, by the way. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looked like?
Well, you know, growing up in South Dakota, I laughingly say to people, we were probably about one generation behind our neighboring states in the field of education. But I didn't feel like I got cheated. I went to a rural one-room schoolhouse, had two teachers during the whole eight grades, and two classmates all through the eighth grades. And yet, it was enriching. It was... I guess I feel like I got a tremendous foundation. I had good teachers, and it's not something I regret. It was very good.
Well, and it seemed to stimulate you intellectually as well, because you mentioned that you were asking these why questions from a pretty young age.
Yes, I really did. I don't know if that's the way God made me or if I had some kind of a problem or issue, but I did raise the question about who was I, why was I here, what was the meaning of life, and all of that. And I think basically my heart was searching for a relationship with God. I didn't know it at the time, but I kept probing and asking, and God eventually met that need.
That's fascinating stuff. We're talking with Dr. Don Byerly. He's the president of Faith Search International, author of Surprised by Faith, on the road here for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. So, Doctor, you headed off to college, and you write that it was there that you really started to struggle with sort of fitting your faith and your intellectual curiosity together.
That's very true. That was the time of testing for me. I went straight into biology, and the more evolution that I was taught with its non-purposeful direction and the coming from lower forms of life, it became a real challenge to me to figure out how did God fit into this? How could this be? And the result was I, for a while, essentially walked away from my faith, never became an atheist, always believed in my heart there has to be a God, but I couldn't figure out the relevance of God nor the meaning of God in my life. And so I more or less put God on the shelf for a few years during college and early work on my PhD.
Would you call yourself at that point an agnostic or some kind of a deist, perhaps?
Yeah, I would say either way. I think maybe more the agnostic, the idea is that especially the part which says, can anyone really know the answers?
Sure.
See, at that point, I wasn't sure if anybody really could know the answers, even though I suppose I was a deist in the sense that I had pretty good confidence that there has to be a God.
Right, right. Well, it's fascinating. Now, your story takes a turn here. While we've grown accustomed to many of the stories of this nature, ending up with the individual we're talking about really losing that faith, there were people in your life whose persistent faith in God drove you on this quest, essentially, to find out whether Christianity was true for yourself. And it was a quest then that led you back to God.
Exactly. I had the good fortune when I was working on my PhD work that I met two or three men, all academic people, all at a public university, who were Christians. I also had, by that time, a wife who was a Christian, and she understood I was too, because I believed in God. And, you know, in America, that's how we think. If we believe in God, we're Christian. We never quite understand the saving relationship of affirmation of faith in Christ and his death on the cross for us. I didn't, but I kind of, you know, Ryan, one of the good things or bad things about my life at that point is that I was a good person. I'm not trying to pretend to be righteous in that statement, but I didn't do things that people associated with bad people. And as a result, I looked like a Christian. And I thought I was just as good as any Christian I had known. It wasn't until these gentlemen began to talk to me about the Bible and about the fact that there are good reasons to trust the Bible as absolute truth. And that was a new idea to me. And I took them on as far as not trying to prove them wrong, but I said, show me. And over the next year and a half, I was under instruction, and they began to show me how the Word of God was true and how it could be supported by evidence. And little by little, by the end of that year and a half, I was intellectually convinced that they were right. I was wrong about my agnosticism, and I just was uninformed. Nobody ever told me. And so I was an intellectual convert at that point. Not one on my knees, but an intellectual convert.
We're talking with Dr. Don Byerly, the president of Faith Search International, the author of Surprised by Faith, On the Road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas. You mentioned the intellectual conversion. Was there an almost emotional or a heart conversion that you experienced as well?
Yes. Well, God knew, of course, that my intellectual conversion wasn't the end of things. I had been reading C.S. Lewis, Francis Schaeffer, and people like that, and through their writings, I was quite persuaded that it really looked like it was all true. But we all know who are Christians that there is a sin problem, and that sin has to be dealt with. And God did it in a way that is pretty unusual, I guess, for me. He did it through the book of Job in the Old Testament. One night I was going to bed, and I decided to pick up the Bible and read a little bit, and I landed in the Old Testament book of Job. At that time, I'm no biblical scholar. I'm just a reader, and I wasn't too familiar with it. And as I read through the book of Job that night, I got tied in because I'm an athlete and I'm competitive. And the result was when Satan challenged God about Job's life and God took him up on it, I had to see how that was going to turn out.
Sure.
And as Job got hurt so badly by the enemy, I kind of turned in my spirit on God and thought, this isn't fair. This is not right. That Job didn't deserve this. And I kind of got angry with God. And it wasn't until I got to the end of the book of Job, chapter 38, that God appeared to Job, and that night he appeared to me, not literally, but in my spirit. He said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand all that." And he went through two chapters, 38 and 39 of Job, all science and all challenges to my intellect and to my kind of know-it-all. Because not only was I a skeptic, but I also had a pride problem. And that night, when he challenged Job with all of these questions, Job said, "I am nothing. I have answered you, but I'll say no more." And it was only through that period of time, that night, that all of a sudden, all I could hear was, "Don, who do you think you are? Don, who do you think you are?" And it was a direct challenge by the Spirit of God to my pride. And I fell to my knees, began to cry, and there on my knees, confessed my sin and my yielding to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the result was a total transformation of my mindset and of my life, which eventually, over the next few years, began to take some new direction.
Wow, that is a remarkable story. It makes you smile, makes you want to maybe put your hands up and just thank God for the way that he can work in a life. Thank you so much for sharing that story, Dr. Byerly. We're talking with Dr. Don Byerly today on the road for Faith Radio. He's the president of Faith Certs International and author of Surprised by Faith. I wonder, considering how key other people in your life were in bringing you to this place where you were questioning truth and opening, really, your heart open and your mind open to the answers actually coming in, is that part of what drives you to go out and share these truths with other people?
You pretty much hit it right on the head, Ryan. If it weren't for the results and the fruit that we see all the time from the proclamation of the gospel with evidence, I think it would be difficult to be as motivated as I am. But I almost daily, either by email or by a presentation that I'm making, I'm getting feedback from people. Just the other night, I had someone come up to me after spending pretty much a 3-hour period of time teaching them and training in a group, and they came up and said, "Today has ignited a revival in my life."
Wow.
And you know, it's statements like that to say, "God, thank you. I don't deserve those kinds of encouragements, those kinds of rewards, but your word is exactly what you say it is. And it does not return to you without accomplishing the purpose for which you provided it and gave it." And so I just consider it a real privilege. And while I'm getting older, my wife and I have decided we're going to proclaim the gospel until the day we die. Unless we're disabled, unless we're unable to do it, why would we ever stop the ministry of the proclamation of such good news?
That's awesome. That is tremendous. Well, let's dig into some of the questions that you yourself answered in that quest for truth, and the answers to so many of which you share in the book, Surprised by Faith. But first off, when we look at the New Testament and we consider the fact that it was written nearly 2,000 years ago, how can we know, Don, that it's true? Is this something we just need to accept with a sort of blind faith, or are there compelling evidences that you've encountered?
Well, that's Ryan, that's a key question that I have spent as maybe the central question of my whole ministry over the last 36 years. Answering the question, how can we know the New Testament records of Jesus are really true? I approach it in a little bit different way than many do. I don't go through the concept of inspiration by the Holy Spirit, even though I believe and adhere to that very, very strongly. I look at it from a historical point of view. How to trace the manuscripts that have been made by scribes from the printing press in the 15th century, as we go backward toward the time of the apostles and the life of Jesus, and you can trace them through copies all the way back to the 2nd century, and now they're finding fragments all the way into the 1st century to the eyewitnesses. So the first thing is, what we're reading in our New Testaments about Jesus today, we can have almost absolute confidence that what we're reading is what eyewitnesses of Jesus wrote in the first century. It hasn't been changed. There's been no modifications of it over those centuries of time. So that gives us confidence that it's not been changed or corrupted over time. And then when you go back to the eyewitnesses and you see what they saw and you hear what they heard, you cannot help but being shaped and saying, this Jesus is not an ordinary man. There is this person has to be one with supernatural power, and yet is a man. So the teaching of Christianity that God became flesh, a Christmas celebration, is something that's confirmed to you the minute you realize the manuscripts of the New Testament are eyewitness accounts.
I know that you have a great interest in the study of archaeology, and we had the blessing just last week on the road to welcome alongside an Egyptologist and a gentleman named Dr. Charles Ayling, who spent a lot of time in the field looking at the evidence that's on the ground. But could you speak to us a little bit about how archaeology itself has really contributed to establishing greater trust in the Bible as a source of history?
Yes, if you go to some religions, and they will make claims that they too are representing some point of history in the past. But when you go to look up the people they point out in their documents, or the places, or the events, they're absolutely nowhere to be found. They do not square with secular history. They don't square with anything. When you look at the Old and the New Testament, there are volumes written of the names of people, for example, that are found in the Old or New Testament that have also been found by archaeology from either manuscripts or from artifacts of various kinds. I think there are now 60 different names in the Old Testament that have all been confirmed as historically true by
wow.
archaeologists. And in the case of the New Testament, not only are there people, but the places. Why is it that millions of people travel to Israel every year to visit the Holy Land? Because the sites that Jesus was in, visited, and ministered in are still there. You can still go back and visit the same places. I mean, obviously, after 2,000 years, they're a little different. They look different, but many of them are somewhat the same. Hard to ruin the Sea of Galilee, for example. And then there's the events are being squared with archaeology. So what archaeologists have done is demonstrated that the people, the places, and the events of the New Testament are actual history. They are not mythology. They're not made up in any way.
The voice that you're hearing on the road on Faith Radio today, Dr. Don Byerly, the author of Surprised by Faith, the president of Faith Search International, and I'm Ryan Thomas. Well, this is one that you are probably often going to face as you share your faith with someone who doesn't at that time share it. Why is Christianity any different from other religions? What separates faith in Jesus from Islam or Buddhism or Taoism?
Yes. That is at the heart of what many times many people do not understand. What I get in my face a lot is, Don, how can you judge other people's faith? Isn't their faith just as good as anybody else's? And I have come to realize that faith is only as good as its object. That is, Christian faith is based on the person of Jesus Christ. The fact that he can be validated as the genuine article, he can be demonstrated by every line of evidence to be who he claims to be, makes my faith in him valid and genuine. On the other hand, compare it to a child's faith in Santa. If you investigate the object of that faith, you realize that the faith is not really genuine because it's based on sort of a myth. Same thing with other religions. And that's the audacity that we as Christians have when we want to go and invite a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Muslim or anyone else to become a Christian, not because we're better than they are or that we're more sincere than they are, but because the object of our faith can be demonstrated to be valid and true. The object of their faith is still in the realm of mythology.
I thought this was an interesting question, pondering what you are explaining in such detail about the historical truth, the logical apparent truths for the Christian faith. What if somebody were to say to you, well, if I had down all of these various and important pieces of information that Dr. Byerly has down, if I had all these answers and all these reasons, then I really wouldn't need faith. What would you say to them?
That's a common question, that faith is somehow opposed to reason. Let's study the objects that people claim are going to take them to eternity when they die, and let's compare them and see which one can stand up to scrutiny and to the evidence available. And so the person who says, if I had evidence, if I had reasons, I wouldn't need any faith, is forgetting that we do not have faith in faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ, and the Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, if Jesus Christ is not who he claims to be, if he did not raise from the dead, then your faith is worthless. Your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And so faith is no good if the object of your faith is no good. And so people who say, if I had reasons, they need to investigate, or I just ask them the question, why did you decide to believe in Jesus? And then all of a sudden they get it. They say, well, because this and this and this. I said, well, then you have reasons, don't you? In other words, there are reasons why we say yes to Jesus Christ and no to Allah or Vishnu or someone else. And that's where reason comes in. That's where investigation comes in, exploring the object. And once you have put your trust and life in the hands of that object, you may have to choose to do something blind or sight unseen because you trust the object.
We talked before about that search for answers, and I think many Christians, at least I believe looking at it and talking to some of my friends who've been in this position, I think we almost feel guilty if we find ourselves in a position where we're questioning what we've been taught to believe. But what would you say from your experience to someone who's experiencing doubts about their faith?
Doubt is the growing edge of faith. Doubt is where God puts his finger on areas in your life and in your testimony in which you have shallow or no support for it. And that's what causes doubt. So you study the object of your faith more in order to give you greater confidence. So don't fear that. James, in his first chapter of the New Testament, Peter, in his first epistle, both said, count it all joy when you encounter various trials and you encounter various temptations. Why? Because they stimulate you to investigate the object of your faith, learn more about Jesus, and you become more confident and doubts will dissipate. So it's a growing edge of faith. That's what the scripture says.
Fantastic. Dr. Don Byerly, president of Faith Search International, author of Surprised by Faith, has joined us today on the road. And it's just been a pleasure talking with you. But before we let you go, Doc, what's the best place for more info about your ministry, about Faith Search, and to dig deeper onto some of these questions?
Thank you, Ryan, for that opportunity. Our website is faithsearch.org. Faithsearch.org. There's a lot of materials I've written. Most of all of them are in apologetics. There's discipleship materials. They can also call our office, 952-401-4501. I'm available to go out and speak, to do seminars, conferences, Bible teaching. All they have to do is call the office and ask for Christy, and she will work with them on scheduling.
All right, sir. Well, it's been fascinating. It's been equipping, and it's been revitalizing as well to hear your story today. So thank you once again for taking the time to come alongside and share with us today.
Yeah, blessings to you, Ryan, for what you're doing and getting the word out to people.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.